to Classy Ring Attire Presents The WrestleManias. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
The WrestleMania 9.
Yeah. So, this happened.
This did happen. It would seem to be the case.
Yeah.
We know that because we had to watch it.
It wasn't a long WrestleMania. And there weren't really long matches. Like, nothing was over 20 minutes. But it felt so much longer.
It felt really long.
Yeah. So, get right into it. It took place at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, April 4th, 1993, to a whopping crowd of 16,891. It looked like there was five.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it looked small.
I mean, especially compared to, you know, WrestleMania 8 at Indianapolis, where, you know, much like WrestleMania 3, there was so many people.
Yeah, it was just
packed.
Then,
you know, go to an open-air place where, theoretically, you would have more room to put people, but
you have less room and more space to put them in.
Yeah.
So, it was not that, it didn't look that impressive.
No. No, it did not.
And also, obviously, this is the one with the gimmick, with the Roman Colosseum, yes. Gladiator,
yeah.
Caesar's Palace gimmick.
Yes, like Finkus Maximus.
Finkus Maximus.
For Howard Finkel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone else had any fake names, but that happened as well.
I will say they tried. They did a thing, you know. Try this concept. Let's do a gimmicked WrestleMania.
They went too far in one direction. Like, they went too far in the gimmicky direction.
Yes. Yes, they did. And, you know, and to their credit, and I'm really trying to really reach in because I'm not going to give them a lot of credit in this one.
Yes.
But to their credit, they had an idea. It was out there. They tried for it. And they've never done it since.
So, no, thank God.
They, you know. So, and I've, you know.
Well, okay, there was, I think, what was it, 21, I believe, where they were in Hollywood, and they did the whole Hollywood gimmick thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still the extent.
That was a seriously subdued gimmick compared to this Roman gladiatorial gimmick.
Yes.
So, I will say, I've been a big fan, a big vocal activist for trying different stuff and going out on a limb and trying that kind of thing. And they did.
Mm.
And they saw the results, and they went back, you know. So, okay, fine. I won't harp too much on this. It's, you know, okay, fine. But WrestleMania's not prom.
It is not prom.
It doesn't need a weird gimmick every year. And they don't have a weird gimmick here, so good job.
Yes.
A effort.
So they did this once, okay, never again.
Never again. And so, you know what? In the long run, that's fine. I will take one bad, weird WrestleMania that doesn't fit for the off chance that it might have really hit something and taken off, and it didn't, but it's so fine. Fine.
So we start, before we even got to the match, like, we had, like, individual intros for everyone except for Jim Ross. This was also Jim Ross's first WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So, way to start off on a high note.
Yeah. He talked about his shoes.
He talked about his shoes, and he was really excited about them. And he was really excited to be wearing a toga. And, you know, then they had a separate entrance for Macho Man. And then we had a separate entrance for Bobby Heenan.
Mm-hmm. By the way, yeah, that was the...
And then we got an entrance
made up
for
the commentators.
Yeah, we got another intro for Caesar and Cleopatra.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
We're not harping on the gimmick, Chris. At least I'm not.
Well, okay, there was one part where they cut to Gene, and there was a bust of Caesar behind him, and he was like, "Oh, Caesar would be so happy to be if he could be able to be a part of the festivities going on here." He was. He just made an entrance. He's there. He's part of the festivities. It's a dumb statement. Stick to your kayfabe.
Is that the dumb statement, or is having an actor's play Caesar and Cleopatra walk out and make a lap around the ring before leaving the dumb idea?
I mean, it's all dumb, to be honest with you. But if you're going to commit to it, fully commit to it.
Okay. All right.
Come on.
So, first match of the night.
And actually, they start off with the second longest match of the entire card.
Yes, they opened up with a big match. But it's Tanaka, Tatanka defeating Shawn Michaels.
Wasn't Tanaka the, the guy from, Phantom Menace?
Yes, that's why that name
okay,
is,
fair enough.
Yep, fair enough.
So you're not pulling, you know.
I'm not just making up syllables.
Fair enough. Okay, Tatanka going up against Shawn Michaels. Tatanka was joined by Sensational Sherry, Luna Vachon was aided in
Shawn
with,
Michaels' corner.
Shawn Michaels. Chris, so
how did you feel about this? As you are the big Shawn Michaels fan,
I am the big Shawn Michaels fan. This match almost put me to sleep. It did put you to sleep.
It did. It did. I was nodding off bad during this match.
Yes, and this was for the Intercontinental Championship. The one thing that stuck out about this match is how slow it was, especially for a Shawn Michaels match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so used to the high-paced offense, whatever the term is that they want to use here. And this just wasn't it. It was just really slow. And a lot of that, and you pointed out, was that they spent so much time out of the ring.
Yes, they did. They just kept falling out of the ring, and I don't know why. And they would roll out, and would... take a lap to compose themselves,
yeah,
and...
or interact with one or both of the ladies that are out on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and every time they would do it, it killed the momentum, like you pointed out. Yeah,
yeah. So it was not a good way to start off WrestleMania.
No,
and we have been going through all these WrestleManias and talking about this first match. Yeah, good match, fair match, and no, that ends here. That ends today. This was not a good kickoff match.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Slow-paced, boring match.
Yes.
That ended with a countout.
Yeah.
And was way too long.
It really, yeah.
It was...
It's, like, you generally would like your first match to be under 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
something fast-paced, something, you know, that'll get the crowd
something
going.
Something to kick off the event.
Something to get everyone interested. Not something that's slow and it's going to drag out for almost 20 minutes and put everyone to sleep.
Yes. Boo.
Yes, incredibly boo.
Alright. Next up, Steiner Brothers and the Head Shrinkers.
Yeah. First appearance of Rikishi, part of the Head Shrinkers. He was, you know, went by the name Fatu.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually felt longer than the first match, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
It felt a lot longer. And again, because they spent so much time out of the ring.
Yes.
Two matches in a row now.
And both of these are two of the longest matches
of the night.
Of the night. These are the second and third longest matches of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going through a good chunk of this WrestleMania on these two matches.
Yeah.
Which both of them are very slow-paced, very chaotic, disorganized, but not in a thrilling manner. You know, that's something that, to use the terms chaotic and disorganized,
yeah,
can mean a really good thing or a really bad thing when you're trying to describe a match.
When chaotic and disorganized is what they're going for,
mm-hmm,
it can turn out right. It can turn out, you know, fine. When it is not what you're going for and it just ends up that way, yeah, then it's when it's almost guaranteed to be a train wreck.
That's where we are. Two, yes, matches in a row. So, I don't have a lot to say about this match either. It's just,
other than the Steiner Brothers won. Oh, yeah, we should say, in the first match, Tatanka won by countout.
Yes.
So, that happened. I guess we move on.
Yeah, it was just a slow-paced... It felt like we sat through WrestleMania's worth of time.
Yeah, in those two matches, yeah.
So, but nothing WrestleMania worthy happened in them. Next up, we have Crush fighting Doink the Clown.
Yes.
Which was a revelation to me because I did not know Doink ever had a WrestleMania match.
Apparently he did.
Yes. Yes.
And not only one Doink the Clown, but we got a second Doink.
Yes. And watching this match, as Chris and I watched this match together, was about the time I got a text from my girlfriend. Mm. And for long-time listeners, you know, she's been incredibly cool and supportive, is probably taking it too far, but understanding that I watch wrestling, and, you know, it's really kind of a good thing and thrilling. And then I had to explain to her, yeah, I'm watching a clown fight, and he's getting helped by another clown, and now they're interviewing the crowd, whether it was actually two clowns or an illusion. And the guy, part of the bit is the guy keeps interviewing people who don't speak English. It's a whole thing.
Yep.
So
I hated that guy in the crowd.
Yeah.
Every time they cut to him, I booed and yelled obscenities at the TV.
Yeah. So, God, this match was, I mean, you know, I did not have high hopes going into it because I saw the first two matches, and then they said Doink the Clown was going to be in this match. And
yeah, all interest went away.
I expected nothing and was still disappointed.
Wow. That's almost impressive if it wasn't sad.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Doink won.
Doink won through shenanigans of another Doink helping him out.
Yes. And if you're wondering, this isn't the other Doink was not Brooklyn Brawler. It was someone else. Steve Kern, I think is his name. I could be completely wrong with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, so.
It was the original Doink who won.
The original Doink won, yes.
So, yeah, for historical footnote, I guess.
In case that you were, you know, very, very
dying
much
to know.
Dying to know. Now we have Razor Ramon going up against Bob Backlund, making his return. Bob Backlund looks so tiny.
He did, against Razor Ramon.
Against Razor. And, you know, he did fine.
Yeah.
It was fun to see Crazy Bob.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I was super down at this point of the night, but, like, this wasn't an awful match.
No.
Because it's Crazy Bob doing what Crazy Bob does. It's Razor Ramon in, like, the height of his I'm the bad guy character.
Like, so much to the point where the crowd was starting to like him.
Yeah, the crowd was, he was pretty over with the crowd there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so far that night, he was the most over wrestler to be in that ring.
At that point, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and it was a short, quick match. You know.
Yeah, you know. Bob Backlund got to have a WrestleMania match, mm-hmm. So that happened.
Yeah.
Didn't last long, but no, whatever.
But he got a WrestleMania match. Razor Ramon got to come out. It was a fine match.
Yeah.
It was a fine, short, quick, it was a good filler match.
Yes.
And so far has been the best match of the night. Which is the problem, that your
filler match,
your quick,
is, yeah,
4-minute filler match is the best match.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, that is not a good thing.
But maybe that'll change, because now we have the Tag Team Championship match, Money Inc., which is Ted DiBiase and Aaron R. Scheister, going against the Mega Maniacs, the returning Hulk Hogan, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, with a mask on his head.
With Jimmy Hart in the corner of Hogan and Beefcake.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart turned heel, and the reasoning behind that was, it weighed on his conscience that he was a heel.
Oh, yeah, he turned face.
He turned face, yeah. And so it was just, you know, he couldn't take any more and he had to do the right thing. All right, that's
yeah,
the most straightforward reason for a face turn I've ever heard.
Yeah, but it's just like I didn't like being bad anymore.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And this was all, by the way, this was Hogan's return since WrestleMania 8.
Okay.
When we got the big, that might be his last WrestleMania ever. That was part of the, you know, buying power of WrestleMania 8, was it, were you watching Hogan's retirement match? Obviously you weren't, and you know that now, all these years later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was Hogan's big return to the ring, and he returned because, you know, they were beating up on Beefcake, and Hogan was watching it at home, and he just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So, honestly, not a bad match.
No, it was fine.
It was a fine match. It was honestly I kind of really enjoyed this match.
Yeah,
it was pretty fast paced.
For a Hogan match.
For a Hogan match. I mean, it was pretty fast paced for every match we've seen so far.
True, but it's not saying much.
No, it's not saying much. But there was a lot of tag in, tag out. And it was the good kind of chaos.
Yeah.
It was the kind of chaos that looked like, oh, there's so much happening and the ref can't control it. Shenanigans abound.
Yeah.
Look at them go, those rascally characters.
And reached the point where the ref, I think he either got knocked out or he was out of the ring or whatever, and
Jimmy Hart
came out and reversed his jacket to reveal a zebra stripe jacket, which didn't make sense because the ref didn't wear zebra stripes at the time.
But we knew what was going on.
But we knew what was going on. He was just like a ref. Yeah.
And so he counted the pin win for the Mega Maniacs.
But apparently the other refs didn't like that, and they disqualified the Mega Maniacs.
Yes. So that was the thing that disqualified them in this match.
Is every Hulk Hogan tag team that he's ever in, does it have to have the, like...
The word Mega? Yeah, he's the Mega part.
Obviously, with the Maniac thing, though.
That would be Beefcake. He is the Maniac in the Mega Maniacs.
Sure.
Like, Randy Savage was the Powers in Mega Powers, whilst Hogan was the Mega.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Hogan was always the big... Pardon my pun. Hulky person.
You want to really fight this?
I'm not going to, but I'm just saying, I understand your reasoning, and you're probably right in what, you know, how they named the Mega Powers. But it still doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm sorry.
It could have been Mega Macho or something. Like,
you will have to sleep tonight knowing that it was Mega Powers and that Randy Savage was the Powers half of the Mega Powers.
I think I'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not that invested in this. That's why I pretty much gave up on that argument halfway through.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. It was, yeah. Then they close out the match. Money Inc. had won. Oh, at one point, Money Inc. decided the match wasn't worth it, so they were going to take a count-out loss but retain the titles. And so they adjusted the rules mid-match.
But while they were walking out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. This is happening now.
So they had to...
Didn't you know?
Run back in. Yeah. And Money Inc. wins because the Mega Maniacs were disqualified. But then they beat up some more. There's some more shenanigan chaos happening in the ring.
Yeah.
And Money Inc. runs away. And they get their briefcase and hand out money to the crowd.
Of course.
So,
instead of just throwing it out of the crowd, which been, you know, better, yes, because it can make it rain. But
they did not make it rain. They handed it out.
Hogan, you disappointment.
This is it. This is what upsets you about Hogan. He didn't make it rain at WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did have a pretty ugly black eye, so.
He did.
That kind of makes it even.
Did come out with a big black eye.
It was like, and it kept, just like, you know, with Cena and the elbow, they kept doing close-ups of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop. Stop.
Well, that's Hogan's face.
I know, but they don't have to be so... They don't have to do
where the injury is. Anytime they show Hogan, they're showing the face. So, anyway. Next up, Lex Luger comes out. Has this weirdly long ring entrance with scantily clad women in mirrors.
And just... The music was just tones.
Mm-hmm.
Just bah, bah. Like, that was pretty much the extent of his music.
Yeah. There's
no real, like, beat to it, no nothing, just tones.
Mm-hmm.
With mirrors that had...
Sparklers
coming out of it, and then it was getting really windy, so it looked like the sparklers was about to set one of the girls' hair on fire.
Yes. So...
It might have made that entrance a little bit more interesting.
I would have been a lot more invested in how that entrance was going to end up.
Yes.
Lex Luthor was also a lot smaller than he was last year, which is a good thing, because his head was not proportionally correct to his body last year.
No, his head was incredibly much smaller than his body. Yes.
Yeah, good job.
Sure.
And Lex Luger defeats Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty straightforward. It was actually not a bad match.
No, it wasn't. I
mean, you know, much credit to Mr. Perfect, obviously.
Of course, obviously.
You know, Lex Luger's not necessarily one known to be a technician or anything.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, whenever, you know, if a match is pretty good, you probably, you know, bet that it's going to be because of Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, giving credit to Mr. Perfect, though.
Yeah.
Alright. Next up, we have The Undertaker in his third WrestleMania match.
Yes.
Defeating Giant Gonzalez.
Yes.
So, first things first, Giant Gonzalez is huge. Like, I will, you know, the commentary table beat this into the ground, obviously,
yeah,
as they're wanting to do. But fair is fair, he dwarfed The Undertaker.
He is...
Who is known to be a large, large man.
He is a giant Gonzalez.
He is.
Yes.
So...
Fair enough, yeah. You know, if you can look past the weird bodysuit.
Yeah, he had this weird bodysuit. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of jokes have been made about that in the past. So, you know, we won't rehash all that stuff, but still.
But you know what's up.
It was effing weird.
And as you know, The Undertaker won, but he won by a disqualification.
Yes.
Because Giant Gonzalez used a chloroform rag?
Yeah. It took Savage a while to say chloroform.
Mm-hmm.
And it took everyone a while to just come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Just, you know, put a rag over Undertaker's face, and then he kind of, you know, passed out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seemed like a very Attitude Era type ending, but...
Well, this is the kind of thing that just kind of feels like a sore spot on the legacy that is the streak. Because he won this one through a disqualification, and, you know,
yeah,
it was, oh, so he technically won, and he's technically undefeated, but he did have to get carted away on a stretcher.
Maybe that's why this match wasn't on 2K14.
You think? This is the reason?
might have something to do with it.
And, you know, in all honesty, Undertaker does come back.
Yes.
And does knock down Giant Gonzalez. And there, that is a thing where, you know, it is nice that he still remains standing in the ring at the end of the match. He's the one standing. It's his music being played.
Yeah.
He is the victor of the match. But that still leaves that bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
That part of the streak is this little bloop moment right here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely a weak spot for the big streak.
Yes.
I didn't hate the match as much as I thought. There were some obvious moments where, like, oh, Giant Gonzalez, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know. Basically, he looked like a stronger-kneed Kali.
Fair enough.
You know, which isn't really saying much, but at least, you know, he could actually walk.
Yeah. All right. Next up, before the main event, Hogan had to announce his displeasure at something.
Yes.
So, he declared that he would be challenging the victor of the main event for the WWF Championship.
Yes.
Whoever it was, Hogan was going to challenge them.
Yep.
And he'll do that in a minute. But there's your setup. Then Bret Hart comes out as champion, and Yokozuna is the challenger. And tell us what you thought of this match, Chris.
Actually, it wasn't a bad match. It was fine. You know, there's moments where you're like, even though you've seen him before and you know about him, you're still kind of impressed with how Yokozuna can move around
at that
size. You know, and Bret Hart's Bret Hart, so I'm...
And there Bret you Hart's go. Bret Hart.
You know, and to be honest with you, yeah, it was a fine main event up until, you know, we get to the ending. But leading up to it, I was okay with it. You know, it I didn't have any problems with it.
It was not a bad match.
No.
Nothing. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's anything to write home about in the pantheon of WrestleMania main events. This one isn't.
No,
one of the tops, but it was okay. And then yeah, the sand thing and the
and then he got the pin off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes in and wins. And then you know. Here comes Hogan. With his red spandex pants and... What was that? Like, it was, red cowboy boots? Or yellow cowboy boots?
I don't remember.
I remember he was wearing cowboy boots and it was weird.
Yeah. So they new match. Here we go. Mm. Hogan now versus Yokozuna for the championship. Surprise extra main event. I didn't hear a bell ring. Did a bell ring?
I did not hear a bell ring at all.
So the surprise extra match never actually started. Okay.
So are you trying to say that throughout the history of the WWE, technically Yokozuna is still
champion? Technically Yokozuna is still champion.
Wow. Took the belt to the grave. That's mm-hmm. impressive.
One faulty bell ringer, and he'll forever be champion.
Fair enough.
He'll be undefeated. He'll be an undefeated champion, based on that.
Very true.
And this match, this was a frustrating situation.
It was.
Because, yeah, Hogan comes in, he's being held, the sand gets thrown, he ducks, the sand lands in the Yokozuna eyes. It's a 22-second match.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got that number, because, again, I don't know when the match started, but it's an officially 22-second match.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to go to, you know, time it bell to bell.
Yes.
When there is no bell.
Exactly. And, you know, what exactly came from this, where this was headed, because I don't know what was happening on Raw at the time. So, I feel like I can only whine and complain about it so much, because, you know,
yeah,
I don't know where the story was leading, where it ended up leading, and if there was a worthwhile payoff. But looking at it as an event all to itself, as WrestleMania 9, is just, it's just an excuse to have Hogan has to be standing victorious in the ring.
Yeah.
And this, they're scared to deviate from that formula.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yes.
Especially after this WrestleMania. Yes. Which they do.
Which they do. And yeah. Yeah, but it's frustrating, and it's a frustrating ending to a frustrating WrestleMania for me.
Yeah.
Reactions to the WrestleMania as a whole?
Bad. Just bad. Oh, we did forget to mention one thing, though. At the end of Luger and Perfect, Luger hit the, I forgot what it was, a forearm or elbow or something, but, you know, the announcers were talking it up like it was some vicious move, and it was forearm to the face.
Yeah.
And it knocked out Ms. Perfect, for a little bit, and then Perfect woke up, and then he went after Luger back, and then he got attacked by Shawn Michaels, and all of a sudden turned into a hardcore match for some reason.
Well, this was clear. This was to lead into a feud between Shawn and Perfect.
Of course, yeah.
And so, you know, that's another thing where I try not to throw fault onto that, because I understand perpetually having these stories always continuing, always a reason to tune in next week. But WrestleMania is the thing that I paid the money for to have it on the DVD.
Yeah.
So I want to be content and satisfied at the end of WrestleMania that I saw justifiable ends to all of these things.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
No. So what was your overall feeling about this?
It was frustrating, really.
Yeah.
It was a bad WrestleMania, and bad in almost every sense of the word. There were very few redeeming moments in there, if any. Usually you can say, like, it's bad, but at least this Taker match, and this was the bad Taker match, this was the worst Taker match, and this Taker match happened at this WrestleMania, in this Coliseum, with this gimmick, and this ending, and all the bad things that have happened in the long history of WrestleMania happened at this WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was just a series of bad decisions and bad things happening.
Yes. So, I feel like we can both safely say, in the continuing, WrestleManias always need to outshine the WrestleMania previous.
Not even close.
No.
Because 8 was really good.
8 was really, really good. 9, I might say worst WrestleMania we've seen so far.
Is it worse than WrestleMania 2?
Yes.
Because that's the one that so far it stuck out to me. Is
really?
The worst one, yeah.
Yes, this is worse than WrestleMania 2.
Okay.
I
agree with you, yeah.
So,
can you pick a favorite, a match of the night in this?
Honestly, I told you during the thing, and I'll probably stick with it. Imagine it, and this is because I feel like I'm obligated to pick Match of the Night. Yeah. And so something is going to win Match of the Night by default, and I'll pick Money Inc. and Megalomaniacs. Because it was this kind of shot of adrenaline into the WrestleMania event so far. Mm. Is, you know, it's faster paced, it's more high energy, it's, yeah, you know, there's just more intensity there. And I feel really bad about it, because yeah, I feel like I've been picking the Hogan match because there's nothing left to pick on the card.
Yeah.
They build into these Hogan matches so much that, you know, the story and the build-up and everything is so important to these matches that it almost by default outshines the other matches, and there's very few matches that can hope to live up to that based on zero build-up and just the limited amount of time the wrestlers have in the ring.
Yeah.
And there's only been one or two examples of that so far, whereas the main event featuring Hogan and glorifying Hogan as the forever end-all be-all of this era of wrestling, you know, is always the thing that I feel like I end up having to say is the match of the night. And now was the time that I didn't have to do that, because he wasn't in the main event, because I knew, well, I guess he was in the main event, but I knew that match, and I knew that wasn't going to be match of the night. Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be Hogan and Yokozuna, so I was like, this is it, this is the time to really start looking for those gems from other spots in the card, and it's still the Hogan match. And I feel bad about that, and I want to apologize. I feel compelled to apologize for that. But I am, again, going to pick the Hogan match for match of the night for me.
See, I didn't have that dilemma. You know why?
Because you didn't pick the Hogan match?
Because I didn't pick a match of the night.
You have to pick a match of the night.
I know.
You have to pick a match of the night.
Fine. Lex Luger and Mr. Perfect.
Okay.
You know, ring entrances aside, you know, it was the one I didn't hate as much as some of the others.
That's, I mean, yeah.
I mean, it was either that or the Yokozuna and Bret Hart, but I didn't want to pick that because that ending was pretty crap.
All right. So, yeah.
Fine. Lex Luger, whatever.
You have to pick a match of the night. Those are the rules that we sat down
I don't think with. That is in the Class of Ring Attire bylaws, my friend.
Yes, it is.
I need to read these sometimes.
Apparently so, because you have
need
to.
You need to write them real quick.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, no, there was no match of the night.
there really wasn't. So
these are default winners.
So, because we have to ask all the time, was it better than WrestleMania 3?
Yeah, no. No, it wasn't. We don't have...
You always ask Match of the Night, and apparently we have to, so apparently we have to...
We have to ask if it outshined the previous one, and if it was the best one so far.
Yeah.
And because 8 was now the best one so far, we both agreed that 8 is the best one.
That's right.
It not only didn't outshine the previous one is also the best WrestleMania they've ever had.
Fair enough.
So, no.
So, it looks good for WrestleMania 10.
Yes. Yeah, WrestleMania 10 has the tiniest of hurdles to step over nonchalantly.
As long as they don't, as long as WrestleMania 10 doesn't trip over its own pinky toe.
Yes. So, here's hoping for WrestleMania 10.
Woo!
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.